Morning. John 12, verses 20 through 33. In John's gospel, Jesus has just arrived in Jerusalem in the great parade of the triumphal entry. And this is the conversation that follows immediately upon Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem. And remember, friends, that this means that these are the last days of his life. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. The festival would be Passover. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life will lose it, and those who lose their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." But Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the ruler of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death that he would die. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Descend upon us, Holy Spirit. May your word of peace and love and healing, and may your call be heard by us in this hour. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Now this New Testament reading from the Gospel of John is about what Jesus said and did during the couple of days before his arrest and trial and death. John has arrived in Passion Week, although we're not quite there yet. Jesus was surrounded by disciples and crowds and seekers and the seek. His reputation had preceded him for 3 years. Everyone in Jerusalem knew that Jesus was present, and many of them wanted to see him. But Jesus was profoundly alone in the midst of all these people. He was deeply alone because he was the only one who knew where he was going. The disciples have been told for 3 years why Jesus is... There's good. I'm glad the cross is up. Jesus has been told for 3 years why... Jesus has been telling them for 3 years why he's going there, and this is why. But they've never listened once. They've never heard him. And even Peter, when he briefly caught... got the idea, said, "Jesus, no, that's not why you're going." I'm always starting new sermons here. I've got to stop that. Jesus' words in this little text for us this morning sum up for me the true meaning of the cross. Here's the message, and I don't think you're ever going to hear this from television pulpits. There is absolutely no crown without the cross. There is no victory without hardship. There is no joy that does not come with pain. What does Jesus tell us here about victory and success? And those are big words in our country, victory and success. Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now imagine how thrilling those words must have been to the disciples there. They've just seen that triumphal entry parade all through John's gospel. Jesus has been telling them that the hour has not yet come. Now, here at last it is, and it's perfectly obvious to them what's going to happen now. Their 3 years of wandering and poverty and hardship are coming to an end. They've hitched their wagon to the right star. They've paid all their dues, and now it's payoff time. Jesus will be glorified. And that obviously means that he will rise up in the power of God. He will brush aside his critics and his enemies, hopefully with fire and storm, and he will take the royal throne of David with majesty and power, and everything will be glorious again, just like it was in the good old days. Because after all, what on earth else could glorified mean? But Jesus has a big surprise in for his hearers, his listeners, and for us, because being glorified means something completely different than the disciples' vision of power and royal enthronement. Their idea of glory and our idea of success are very similar ideas, and we worship success in our country. Success then and now is having unlimited goals and the means to achieve them. Success is being able to buy whatever you want, go on vacation anywhere in the world, being able to slap the card down on the counter to charge it without having to give a second's thought to whether or not you can afford it. Might not be your picture of success, but it is certainly our culture's. But I think it'll come as no surprise to any of us that this is not the kind of success that Jesus is talking about. Jesus said that he would achieve glory by becoming like a grain of wheat, and that's not exactly a model of success you'll ever see at one of these seminars, one of these Seven Habits seminars. A grain of wheat. What does that mean, Jesus? It means dying, and yet through dying, bearing much fruit. One tiny seed becomes acres of rolling wheat, food for thousands of hungry people. Jesus was teaching a central truth found throughout the Bible. We gain when we give ourselves away. And that's what Jesus is teaching us today. We gain when we give ourselves away. We grow when we let go. And the truest leaders are those who follow Jesus Christ in total obedience. Our stewardship season starts in just a few weeks, right after Easter, and those are the ideas that we're going to hear again and again. We grow when we let go. In the eyes of the world, Jesus failed. And there are those who still believe to this day that Jesus failed. He died, and a seemingly useless and pointless death at that. But remember, no cross, no crown. And the full truth of the gospel is this: cross and crown are the same thing for Christians, for both for Jesus and for us. Following Jesus is, from first to last, a matter of letting go. The cross is our crown. Now, I'm going to read the words here to a hymn that we will be singing in just a moment. You'll recognize them right away, and you'll certainly know the hymn backwards and forwards when we sing it after the sermon. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. I'll get to the chorus at the end of this because it's the chorus that has the words that I love. Here are the verses. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction to me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. And here's the chorus, and these are the words I especially love. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it one day for a crown. I love that old hymn. There are a handful of old gospel hymns that are so perfect that we should not let go of them, and this is one of them. But there's one small correction or rewrite that I would make if I could, and it's probably just as well that I can't, because we won't exchange the cross for a crown, because the cross itself is our crown. They are one and the same. So let's begin now to prepare our hearts and our souls for the observance of Christ's Passion that begins 1 week from right now here in this room on Palm Sunday. Let us not only remember his death on the cross for our sakes, but but also his glorious rising up from the dead and defeating death forever. That is success in a Christian context. Dying for others, rising for others, and living for others. I invite you, I invite all of us, to prepare by letting go, to prepare by willing to appear to fail in the sight of the world. Christ's failure became the greatest victory in the history of the world. He achieved this victory by living for others and by dying for others. We can share in that victory, but only by sharing in the price. May the cross of sacrifice for others, be our crown as well. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God.